You're listening to Perspectives on Health and Tech, a podcast by Cerner, where we chat about topics, have conversations on creating a seamless and connected healthcare world where everyone thrives.
In this episode, recorded at the Oracle Cerner Middle East and Africa Collaboration Forum in spring 2022, Dr. Bishal Balish, Senior Director and Client Site Leader at Oracle Cerner, speaks to Himanshu Puri, Head of Information Technology for King's College Hospital London in UAE, about how the pandemic opened up new opportunities for patient engagement and which innovations healthcare systems are using to deliver better care.
An engaged population is a healthier population. Majority of healthcare organizations at this point are focusing on patient engagement, but we are not the only industry that focus on engaging our clients, engaging our consumers. Industries around us are shaping and influencing consumer behaviors. Online shopping. When you go to online shopping portals, it suggests products for you. It tells you when your product is happening. It tells you that if you go with this product, we think that you would like this product to be aligned to it. Your navigation application, once it connects to your car, it knows based on your driving behavior where you want to go and suggests, would you like me to guide you to go home? These are all examples on how different industries are working on not only addressing the consumer need, but also shaping the consumer behavior toward what they want them to do. Now, healthcare is no different. Our clients are shared. We are the client of healthcare. Healthcare is more complex than putting some data elements and aggregating it to know your clients. It involves involving your family, knowing your surrounding, knowing your determinant of health, et cetera, et cetera. But we are still an industry that needs to answer to a client need. Some clients considering patient engagement as part of communication only. So patient comes to my facility, my healthcare organization, I send him a message, I send him thank you, I send him happy birthday, I send him email, I take his consent to communicate with him his lab results, and that's it. Some other organization talks about patient engagement as a collaborative work between them and their patient. They get them more engaged in the way how they deliver health. They ask them about their health. They know their family. If I connect to my healthcare provider, they know that I have 3 kids at home and my illness today might impact them or vice versa. Other organization looks at patient engagement at their core of service, and they build their other services around patient engagement. So they remodel their healthcare delivery system to address the patient engagement. So the definition of health engagement is very much related to what organization wants to do about this health engagement. My name is Bishal Balish. I'm the general manager over the strategic partnership in the Middle East Africa. I'm glad to have with me here Mr. Himanshu. Mr. Himanshu will share with us his experience about patient engagement framework and strategies, what are the different channels of patient engagements in his personal opinion, and what's the barrier to patient engagements application within the healthcare IT. Himanshu is the head of IT in King's College Hospital, London. He has 15 years of global experience in healthcare information technology, working with private and public sector across US, UK, India, and Middle East. Himanshu, welcome on board, and thank you very much for joining us in the first session.
Thank you. Now, on 15 plus years of experience in healthcare, I have got an opportunity to work with really motivated people who have brought in innovation, technology, digital transformation, and more informed people into this industry. Now, Bashar just mentioned that this industry has become complicated, and I think we have done that together. We have done this in order to achieve better healthcare outcomes, and I think we have done a wonderful job. Over the last 20 years, we have seen the transformation of how healthcare used to operate versus what it is now, and we can foresee for the next 20 years. But it's only recently that we have started to tap into the biggest asset of the industry. It's only recently that we've started to actually partner with the biggest player of the industry, the patient. But I'm going to probably introduce to you some drivers that will help you define and design patient engagement for your organization. For tech providers, it's going to help you define your strategy for your clients, right? So keep these things in mind. While there are many, I thought of just highlighting five of them. More engaged patients have better health outcomes. They have safer health outcomes, right? Some statistics for you to know. Less engaged patients have probably unmet medical needs, right? So there have been situations where patients have moved to the other world without even knowing they had a condition, right? And even for those who knew and were not engaged, it was probably two times the probability that they got late or delayed patient care. And so all of this basically creates and puts pressure on the economic conditions, puts a lot of pressure on how we manage care for the populations. The second is, while you design your strategy, keep in mind that there are multiple channels, and we'll come to that, multiple channels of how you can engage your patients. But mobile phones, which is right in your pocket, are probably the most used. 2 years ago, June of 2019, there were 325,000 registered mobile apps that were available in both Android and iOS platforms. Now, can you imagine how the industry has reformed from a paper form or a paper patient satisfaction survey to defining and designing patients' healthcare outcomes? Right? And this is still 2 years ago. I'm sure a lot must have happened during COVID and pandemic. I'm sure there must be a surge of these applications. I couldn't get the latest numbers. And if you don't do this, or if your organizations are unable to achieve this, I'm afraid you're going to have patient churn. Right? You will have patients leave you. So when you design this strategy, it is also crucial to be able to retain your patients with you so that you are able to give them that long-term care. The third one is patients are more and more getting used to virtual care. Now, this is, again, a recent research where a lot of patients with psychological and psychiatric assistance requirement have basically preferred to meet their providers virtually rather than physically going to your provider. Now, while this is more on tier one, tier two cities, the next statistics is more to do with tier two, tier three cities. There's about 24% of patients are okay to even get treated for more complex physical conditions, right? This is mostly in cases where they don't have a specialty hospital or they don't have immediate access to care, right? But still wanted you to know that when you define your strategy for patient engagement, you don't have to just look at the city that you are in. Try and broaden that perspective for cities where you may not even have a footprint today. Because at the end of the day, we want to provide that care to the patients. The fourth perspective when you define your strategy is wearables. I'm sure all of us have a smartwatch or at least a smartphone in along with us. Right? So again, when you define your strategy, wearables and IOMT are becoming more and more, let's say, induced into the industry or into the organizations or into the communities. Right? So when you're doing this, keep in mind that about 60% of patients have agreed to provide their data if you're able to establish that relationship between the patient and the provider. Right? So when you define the strategy, keep this in mind on how are you going to tap into this sort of data. Now, I do understand that we come from different parts of the world. Different parts of the world have different regulations, data security, etc. So while you're also designing your patient engagement, it's very important to be able to cater and understand how regulation is going to govern your data transfers and data management. The fifth, and probably I'll tell you a quick observation. So at King's College, from where I work, we have a wellness program that our HR started. And over last week and even yesterday, we had this fancy chair where you sit down and you hold some metal rods or whatever, and then they basically give you 50 different analyses of how your body is performing. Right? Wonderful. But I observed one thing. This chair was right in front of my office, and till 3 p.m. or so, people who were running, people who were playing, people who were part of sports, who used to gym regularly, and I know, got and done their analysis much earlier in the day. And it's only after 2 or 3, maybe people were skeptical, maybe they were not that active, decided to come and do their analysis, right? And that directly correlates to this point. The healthier you feel, the healthier your patients feel, the more engaged your patients feel, they will become more proactive for care. It's when you define your strategies, it is important to also understand your population. It's also understand, basically there's a concept of stratification, right? So how do you basically stratify your patients and how do you target those stratas for your patient engagement? Right, so now we know what patient engagement is, we know how broad the scope is, and while I cannot give you a strategy, I can probably help you understand some drivers of how you can define your strategy. I want to quickly highlight something that I did while I was designing a patient engagement strategy for the organizations that I worked. Patient engagement is incomplete without provider engagement. You cannot do patient engagement without provider engagement, right? If one doesn't work, the other is definitely going to fail, right? So on the, let's say, crest of what I was trying to design is to have equal patient engagement and provider engagement. And the objectives were accelerated access, not only for the patient, but also for the provider. To have more informed patient insights. So how do you bring in the patient? How do you engage the patient? You should be able to throw to him as much information about himself and possibly about his population so that you can have better insights back as well, right? It's always give and take, right? We should have that kind of an establishment. This will help enhance collaboration, understanding, and trust, not only between patient and provider, but what I've found is to have provider-provider factor as well. It is broadly divided into digital and in-person. Now, in digital and in-person, I cannot use every channel every time, right? So that's where the thinking comes in, and you have to understand your patient population even better. There could be some areas where chatbots don't work. There could be some areas where you cannot provide an IOMT device for all your patients. There could be possibilities where people don't have access to emails, right? So that's where now you have to think and strategize which channel needs to be used, when, and how frequently. Now, what I did after this event was I basically did a 2x2 graph, and I tried to say frequency versus channel, and we marked down what we could use, let's say, on daily basis, what we could use on weekly, what we could use on monthly, and we had a beautiful interpretation of how we should basically start driving patient engagement using these channels, right? Maybe you can do that. I'm just telling you, I'm just trying to share with you what we did, and it worked really well for us. But there are always barriers, right? So how do you, it's also important for you to understand the barriers when you are working on any particular strategy, right? So there was a research done which basically took feedback from 35 professional provider groups. I'm going to highlight some of them. The four themes, one starts with the patient themselves. Right, so while we talk about patient engagement, and if you're not able to get a response from your patient groups, that definitely becomes one of the biggest barrier for a patient engagement. And the two biggest barriers within this theme, or let's say some sub-themes within this theme, was low patient medical literacy, right? So they couldn't understand what a physician asked them to do, right? So if I have told a patient, or it was also education, right? The physician could not imbibe the education into the patient, right? So it's basically understanding part of the patient. Now, if the patient goes and says, hey, Santosh, you need to take paracetamol 500 mg BID into 5, right? What would the patient understand with that? It's also important how we educate our patients. And mostly these surveys highlighted patients, one, having a medical literacy issue, and one, understanding of the physician is even telling them. And this goes back to the demographics of patients that we see or our care providers provide care for. We have patients, especially in the Middle East, that are from different walks of life. They come from different regions. They come from different backgrounds. They come from different cultures. And it's important for us to understand how we can cater to these different groups and how we can communicate and educate these people. Staff-related issues, and I have seen this in my experience as well, change is difficult, and especially if you are a care provider. You are the best in what you do. hands down. There is no argument that a physician is doing his best. There is no argument that a physician is an expert in his field. But change still gets difficult. Now, how do you basically, and the research basically also justifies this, right? There has been some sorts of resistance in involving patient in the patient care, right? And that also has to be addressed. Quickly jump to the next one, system-related barriers. So lack of resources, we do understand during COVID, we spoke about burnouts, we spoke about wellness, we spoke about, I know that in this region, I don't know about other parts of Middle East, but in UAE, we are suffering with attrition, right? Our clinical teams are struggling with attrition, especially nurses. We are somewhere between 30 and 45% attrition rate, right? Varying from tier one, tier two, tier three hospitals. Now, with that kind of attrition, and because of the pressure and the burnout and a lot of other things that got added because of COVID, resources is a problem, right? And this is a basic barrier. So when we design our strategy again, we have to be considerate of how simple we can make it and what do we basically do with that data once we have captured that information. We can have tons of data, but when you can't do anything with it, what's the point? What's the point of doing it, right? So that's another barrier. The fourth one is community-related, and this is probably a call out to people in this room and maybe outside of this room. What can we do in order to target bigger audiences? Let's say use of social media, use of television. I know people are still, a big chunk of people still use radio. How can we create health literacy using these channels? Right, more from a government, more from a public health perspective, more from regulation perspective. How can providers, hospitals, help in creating this kind of awareness to our patients?
I think you have brought a very interesting concept to the discussion. First of all, providers and technology is not the only dimension of patient engagement. It has to be all of us working together, providers, healthcare organizations, patients, to build up our healthcare strategy. We do play a good part as providers, but we are not the only part of building your patient engagement protocol. However, when you spoke about barriers, and it feels like we are still trying to figure out ways to overcome these barriers. From your experience, do you have some like suggestions or some example that you can share with us on how we can overcome these challenges and barriers?
Yep, absolutely. I can give you an example of how we, what we have done as a private organization, right? So we basically looked at pre-admission engagement, during the course of care engagement, and post-discharge engagement, right? So pre-engagement, we use some of these channels where, so again, there are two groups of patients. There are some patients who are already registered in your organizations. Right, and they are probably easy to engage with before the care, right? So you can send out, they probably would have already downloaded your mobile app. So we have a mobile app and we have patient portal and we keep sending them notifications and reminders of their care. The other population is patients who are not in your system, right? So how do you basically go back and engage patients who are not part of your system? We have used extensively social media, understanding the trend that in this part of the world, social media users are increasing. They're increasing in double numbers.
Yep.
We have tried to create awareness. We have put up some hoardings. We have, you know, so there are a lot of ways that we have tried to engage patients before admission. Now, post, or let's say during the course of care, we divided them into outpatients and inpatients. For outpatient, what we have tried to do is, we have a Kingsmen, right? So I don't know if you're aware of this concept. So we have something called Kingsmen. And you will experience this if you happen to come to King's College. As soon as you step into the hospital, you will always have a smiling face ready to greet you and help you navigate through the hospital, right? That's the first touch point. The second thing that we have done is we have an automated dashboard. So we have used data. We are capturing when the patient has stepped into the hospital. We are capturing when the patient has registered himself. We are capturing where he needs to go. What's the current physician waiting time? So how long is he going to wait before he meets the physician? And we have basically used analytics to trigger alarms and alerts for not only the Kingsmen, but also, so we call them patient affairs, right? So they are basically there to just take care of the patients. We send alerts at the moment through email, but we are going to make this over phones and SMSs and everything. So if the patient is waiting more than 20 minutes before he meets the physician, these alerts will basically equip or will alert somebody to go and speak to the patient and proactively ask him if he's okay, maybe give him a free coffee voucher. You know, so we're looking at keeping him engaged while he's waiting for the thing. For inpatients, we have an infotainment system. I wish I could play the video and show you how wonderful it is. So while the patient is on the bed, he can order his food through the system. He has access to his own medical record. Of course, not everything. He has options to basically do a video conferencing with his family. He has an option to understand read more information about his treatment plan. So we're keeping him engaged while he's even lying on the bed. Now, post-care, again, we have used analytics in order to understand if there is a follow-up needed. For example, we have rules where, let's say, mammographs or pap smears or some conditions where we know that the patient has to come back. There are automated alerts which we are sending to the patient, so we keep them engaged even after they have left the hospital. So we are trying to do a lot of things pre, during, and post. Care.
Thank you. I'll pause for a second and I'll check if any questions on the portal. We have a question here.
Do you have an app? And how did you use it to engage your patients in King's College?
So yes, we have a mobile app and a patient portal. So what we did with the mobile application is, it was difficult initially for us to transition all our patient population into the app because they never have used a King's mobile application or a King's patient portal, right? So there were continual communications that we initiated with the patients, whether it was when the Kingsmen met them, whether the physician met them, and the nurse met them. So it was the first thing was to get them onboarded. Now, once we got them onboarded, now again, I must be frank that we don't have 100% of our population onto the app, right? Which it is a difficult task. So when we got a majority of our population onto the mobile app or the patient portal, so it's they go hand in hand. Right? We are using Cerner's mobile app and patient portal. So you have a login in one, it basically seamlessly works in the other. Right? So we were able to get them onboarded. What we started to do was to basically send them, and our marketing again did a wonderful job in this. We started sending them proactive notifications. We started sending them, hey, you're now, have you reviewed your results in the last 1 month? We see that you have this condition. Have you looked at having a follow-up? So these were the notifications which started getting popped up onto their mobile apps. The second thing which we did was we used email as another channel of creating awareness of the conditions that they have, of the treatment plans that they have, and directing them to the mobile app. Right. So a lot of effort went in moving patients to use the mobile app / patient portal. Now we are looking at enhancing this engagement. It was more of a prototype which went really well. We enhanced some, it's going well, and our objective. So you can never achieve everything at once, right? It's always an incremental, incremental innovation is the best innovation. Right? So we are still trying to do a lot when it comes to how do we use this data. Now we are looking at having patients put in their medical entries. And once we get that information, plus information that we have, there'll be a lot that we can do from data analytics. We are trying to imbibe a chatbot into this and run the AI where we will be able to give a personalized care using the mobile app. Right? So we have a lot of things that we want to do and a lot of things that we have already done. All right? So if you happen to download the app, you will see a lot of change coming in the next 6 months to 1 year. Thank you for your question. I hope that answers.
I think patient engagement equal data, but data does not equal EMR. Data equal all of your support system, all of your policies, all of your efforts to engage your patient, whether it's coming from social media, whether it's coming from different solutions, whether it's coming from the kingsmen of your organization. So it's, in my personal opinion, it's way wider than linking it to a standard workflow within an EMR. It's way wider than that. It is an interesting topic. Mm-hmm. Himanshu, thank you very much for sharing your experience. It is an important topic for all health organizations. And
thank you.
Be sure to subscribe to Perspectives on Health and Tech on iTunes, Spotify, and Pandora. For more insights from industry experts, visit Cerner.com/perspectives. Want to chat about a topic? Share your thoughts and ideas at podcast@cerner.com or tag us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.